In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions, one coin, two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
And I'm Vikram.
How are you doing today, Vikram?
Pretty good, man. How about you?
Good. I'm ready to feud you.
Why did you just become like a Looney Tunes character all of a sudden?
Yeah, that's all, folks.
Close.
So, Vikram, mind telling the good folk what we're doing here?
Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. I don't.
That was very useful, by the way. A great use of time for our listeners.
You're always welcome, guys. We are recording a podcast where we pick a movie from the IMDb Top 250 at random. Then we go ahead and toss a very valuable coin.
The Film Feud coin.
Pa-pa-param. And heads argues for the movie and tails argues against.
That's right. And this week we are feuding. Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
What a nerd, man.
Oh my gods. I haven't seen this movie in a long time. And I'm pretty pumped, you know? If for no other reason than nostalgia.
I think this was... I'm pretty sure this was the first Hollywood movie I ever saw. I think it was between this and Rocky IV.
On Star Movies, I assume?
No, like a video cassette.
Oh, VHS.
VCR for the
VCR.
Win.
VCR.
For the
damn.
Win. Yeah.
So, mind revealing what you thought of this movie when you watched it for the first time?
When I was all of like 7 years old. Yeah,
just watching like Hollywood versus Bollywood in that era.
Honestly, it kind of scared me.
It is kind of scary for a 7 year old. It's meant to be.
Yeah. Maybe Sammy could have been like 6 or 5 as well, but I kind of got scared, I remember.
You know what's actually meant to be scary is T1. And full disclosure, I have not seen Terminator. At least I can't remember if I've seen it.
Really?
I'm sure I caught it at some point, but.
Really? That's. I mean.
I've seen Terminator 2 many times, at least a few years ago is the last time I remember seeing it. You don't need to watch Terminator 1 for Terminator 2, like at all.
A little bit to sort of understand why maybe Sarah Connor is acting the way she is.
Yeah, like... but if you've seen Terminator 2 before, then the next time you watch it, you already know what happens in T1, right? Does that make sense?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for shooting me down. I'm glad you have my back. We aren't even feuding yet.
Always, brother.
So the point is, haven't watched Terminator 1, but I'm ready to watch Terminator 2. Pretty pumped about this feud. What do you say we get to it? Should we toss the Film Feud coin and see what up? I'm in a very repetitive mood today, I've seen.
Just for that. Yeah, let's do it. Why don't you just go ahead and toss that coin?
All right, here we go. Let me toss the coin. Heads is for, tails is against. Yeah, baby! And it's heads. And I am for Terminator 2 Judgment Day. One of my favorite childhood movies of all time. Do you just remember coming back from school, sitting in the air conditioner, getting served lunch and watching Terminator 2 Judgment Day?
No, it was The Simpsons for me, I remember correctly.
Dun 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 dun. I'm so pumped. So relieved.
Just a side note, I actually have a really close friend who's pretty well built.
Okay.
And then just to like mess with him whenever he enters the room, that's what I do. Completely hates
that's
it.
That's the ultimate compliment, man, to call someone good old Arnold, old Governator.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
How are you so calm right now? You are feuding against Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
I think I'll be able to handle this one pretty well.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, really? I don't even care about the coin toss. I'm just pumped to watch this movie.
Yeah, I think that's one thing I'm kind of psyched about too. It's been really, really long since I saw this. So Let's see if it holds up. Let's see if my mature mind still perceives of it as a fantastic movie or scary, maybe. I still get scared. Let's see how that goes.
Let's do it. So, should we go watch the movie?
Oh, let's do it. I'm so pumped.
Let's go watch Terminator 2. And may I say to our audience, we'll be back.
Oh, God. See you guys.
Vikram.
Come with me if you want to feud.
Dude, we shouldn't be doing Arnie impressions. I will ruin this episode.
I know what yours is. It's something chopper.
Get to the chopper.
All right, let's just start off the episode with moratorium on Governator impressions. Firstly, the man is a legend. I know he's been through a lot in recent times, but don't you malign his greatness with your stupid impression.
As a politician?
He's a legend. Simply this movie alone. If he just chilled, went to the top of a mountain and meditated for the rest of his life, this movie alone would be enough to make him a legend.
Look, if he chilled, went to the top of a mountain and meditated for the rest of his life, that makes him a legend.
What are you talking about? How good was this movie? How good was Arnold? What a specimen he is, man.
Look,
firstly.
Look. Firstly, it's Arnold.
How good was Sarah Connor, even John Connor, James Cameron, God? I mean, Titanic was like a dhabba on this movie.
Dude,
this
I can see the jizz in your hands right now. Can you go wash them first?
Ew. There's no reason to get all jizzy and personal, okay? This movie was awesome. I can't even understand what you're going to say. I mean,
I surprisingly have a lot because it's been way too long since I saw this movie. And what's the memories I have of this movie are obviously from when I was a child, because this was definitely one of the first two movies I saw. And that memories, you know, whenever you see a movie when you were really young. And firstly, I would like to say that every bit of the movie that scared me as a child, I laughed at when I watched it this time around.
That's a point, you think, in
it's
your
not
favor?
A point. Did I say it's a point?
I'm going to give you this one chance to just...
I do not want it.
Hand me the feud.
No, absolutely not. This is...
I will buy you a nice little meal as a condolence, because what are you going to do? I mean, this is just a waste of time for all of us. I've already won this feud.
No, man. I actually feel like the other movies where I had to argue against, where it was like a little on the fence, they were way too tough. This one just... It's so naturally...
Oh, yeah? Can I name some?
What? We've been doing this for a while? Never mind. Let's not.
Dude, is this the best action movie of all time or what?
Absolutely not.
Of course it is. Name
Absolutely
a better action
not.
Movie. Name a better action movie.
Real Steel.
It's not even the right genre, you idiot.
I don't know. Man, there's so many better action movies, dude. Let's not even talk about that. Let's talk about this particular movie.
Yeah.
This piece of... art, if Cameron would like
indeed,
to call it.
Indeed. Yeah, let me just lay my cards on the table about this piece of art. Not only is this the best action movie of all time, this is the best sequel of all time. This is up there with Empire.
Up there with Empire.
This and Empire, perhaps together on equal footing, are the reason, and The Godfather. Godfather 2, Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back, and Terminator 2, Judgment Day, are the reason... Nobody can ever say, oh, the sequel's never better. Well, here we go. Here's a better sequel. I don't even need to watch Terminator 1. Everybody knows it's better.
First of all, I love you. You make me laugh. Thank you for that.
Best sequel of all time. Don't you dare hate on my point by laughing. Unstoppable.
I love how you just like, you know, like it's the Empire sitting there and then Godfather sitting next to it. And then Terminator's there and you're just dragging it. And it's like, no, I don't want to come. No. And you're just like dragging its body. Like, no, go sit with them.
It's like Sarah Connor in the mental asylum.
Like, no, I don't want to go there. No, they're too good for me. And then you're like, just go sit, man. Are you kidding me?
Dude, just like Empire, firstly, this
stop
movie
it. Please,
has...
Please stop it.
All right, I don't need the Empire
clearly you do. You said comparison. It six times in the past 30 seconds.
It just has soundbite after soundbite of just like amazing, iconic, epic dialogue. Amazing, iconic, epic scenes. Amazing, iconic, epic chases. Have I said amazing and iconic? Have I said Empire? Have I said best? Have I said action? Have I said sequel? And Oh my God, it holds up, dude. Isn't that crazy? This movie holds up. 25 years ago it was made.
There's something else crazy going on right now, which is you talking and I'm just waiting for you to get done. After you're done with like all this general, just like throwing shade at...
Name a better action movie. Name a better sequel.
Empire.
Name a better sequel that's not Empire. My
Godfather 2.
Name a better sequel that I haven't named yet.
Wait, so you agree they're better sequels? You agree they're better sequels?
Do you agree that they're worthy of comparison? Because then I win.
With T2?
Yeah.
No. Absolutely not. Godfather 2? Godfather 2?
I'm just throwing this out that it's the best sequel of all time. I mean, it's not even... That's my position. Okay, I'll spend the rest of the feud proving it.
Let's move on. Yes, please. Please, let's get on to you trying to prove it rather than you just endlessly repeating it.
Oh, no. Don't put the burden on me. You prove your stupid
position. I will. 100%. Let's hear it. 100%.
Just throw out the worst thing about this movie.
No, I will not. I will not.
Oh, you're saving it?
Yes. No, I'm not saving it.
Just like your virginity.
Yeah. That was a good one, I guess. Again, thank you. You make me laugh. I want to start this feud by saying that in absolutely no way in hell will I be diving into the warped theory of time travel that this series presents. I do not want to dive into it.
The first and second movie are self-contained, accurate.
Not getting into it. You cannot try to tempt me into it. It's not happening. The amount of holes in that theory.
What theory?
The amount of holes in that time travel theory that this movie or the Terminator series tries to present.
I don't even think you'd bring up time travel.
It has so many holes.
Like what? It's a grandfather paradox. That's any time travel.
I do not want to get into it. All I want to say
is... Don't bring it up if you don't want to bring it up. But if you bring it up, I'm going to bring it up.
Okay.
I'm just saying, it's fine. Time travel in this movie is fine. T3, T4, the rest of the movies, which, let's just face it, James Cameron no longer had control of, and they kind of lost the plot in terms of time travel. The Terminator movies do not exist after T2.
Agreed.
Great. I'm glad we're on the same page.
Yeah. It's Terminator. When we talk about Terminator, we're talking about Terminator 1, the original, and Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Wow, I'm so excited we're on the same page here. This is the kind of stupid pushback I expect from you.
No, bro. Not at all. T3, 4, 5. I don't even know how many are made. Salvation, all of that stuff, not counted. It was just like...
Genesis.
Genesis was one?
Yeah, the one with Khaleesi. Worst one ever.
Oh, yeah. No. None of that. He's like, he stays on Earth for like 30 years and like waits. Oh, I don't even get it.
She calls him daddy? No, what does she call? That's terrible.
No, when I talk about time travel, I only talk about...
Pops. She calls him Pops.
Oh, man. Anyway, moving on. I had a joke about time travel and the holes this theory has.
Please do.
No.
No, please.
The time has passed.
No, you can't tease
just
me
like
this.
Time travel, the time has passed.
I hope that wasn't the joke.
No, that wasn't the joke. And moving on, off the cuff, let's just talk about Cameron and his direction. I honestly feel, and this is no just to take a cheap shot at Terminator 2 and all, but I feel like this was one of his last few movies when he was an okay-ish director, when he actually transcended the next level, went to like Titanic and Avatar and stuff, because he followed this up with the god-awful True Lies. Do you remember that movie?
I don't actually, but sure.
I'll summarize that movie in a scene for you, okay? Arnold Schwarzenegger's flying a jet next to a skyscraper where his daughter is being held by the kidnappers. He has a jet, like a full-on like MiG-21 F-16 type jet, like hovering next to like a skyscraper. So like mid-city, mid-New York, he's like just flying a jet around. That's True Lies, by the way.
I mean, Arnie is an action hero, you know?
Cameron's a good director now. Like, what was he thinking?
I mean, Cameron's a sort of a legend more than he is a good director, right? Like, Avatar, everybody kind of hated on the movie itself, but what he did with that movie is mind-blowing.
I think he directed that movie really well as well. Mm-hmm. To be able to bring all of... I think a director's biggest role is to be able to bring all those things together and make them hold up.
Let's stick to Terminator 2. Where did he fail? He just killed it. I mean... Firstly, his vision alone. Terminator 1, he was a new director. He was like some 20s kid who got a small budget for like this crazy-ass action sci-fi movie, pulled it off. By this Terminator 2 time, he knew what he was doing, had a vision, had the budget, and made something revolutionary. I mean, the special effects in this movie are mind-boggling for the time. And looking back, I can't believe they hold up. Yeah. And even the vision of the special effects, much like he... in the future showed that he has crazy visions and brings them to life with Titanic and Avatar. The vision in this movie is just insane. How did he envision the T-1000 and know that he could pull it off so, you know, convincingly.
Again, not going to hate on the special effects because it's a 1991 movie, if I'm not wrong. It's kind of crazy how they sort of hold up. I kind of agree with you there. But I feel like he just had so much focus on all of those elements of the movie that everything else just fell flat.
Like what?
The casting, man.
Firstly, Linda Hamilton is amazingly casted. And
no, I feel like he just got stuck with Linda Hamilton because she was part of one.
That's no way to talk about his wife at the time.
So what?
He didn't.
She's not my wife. She's not my mommy. And John Connor, dude, that kid's supposed to be 10 years old in the movie.
All right.
He's supposed to be 10 years old in the movie.
Dude, he's like a time travel baby. You know, it's got to have some impact. Like his father, he needs to send back his father and all that. He's like, you know, that.
Please stop.
Time paradox grandfather. Just he's stop. His own son.
You have to admit he doesn't look 10 years old.
All right, he doesn't look 10 years old.
He's riding dirt bikes all over town.
You didn't ride dirt bikes when you were 10?
No, man. I missed that part of my life. Just, I don't know what happened there, but...
You know what I kept wondering is like, who is this 10-year-old stuntman that they got? Or who is this 18-year-old stuntman who's playing a 10-year-old?
And then like the first 5 minutes of the movie felt like I was in like Problem Child or something, man. Like just like...
He is a problem child. He's a delinquent because his mother is in a mental asylum. No. That's great.
Problem Child, the movie.
Oh, okay. With, what was that one?
John Ritter. I like that. Da-da-da-da-dum-da-dum. That kid, that messed up kid.
Yeah, I don't remember this stuff. I only remember great movies like Terminator 2.
Right.
I'm sorry.
No worries, man. No worries. But I truly feel like...
All right, you're picking on John Connor. I get it. I will grant you that he doesn't look 10. Who gives a shit? They could have just said he's 13. It wouldn't have really mattered.
No, dude. Because he's the essence of the movie, he's John Connor.
No,
right?
Arnie is the essence of the movie. And Linda Hamilton is the second essence
Arnie,
of the movie.
Arnie will get to Arnie. And I feel like he did a solid job in T1 where he actually looked menacing as a robot who's trying to kill everyone who comes in his way. In this movie, he's sort of...
Badass, amazing, iconic, epic, shotgun on a motorcycle, reloading and shooting like a robot ninja, badass mother clucker.
Michael Bay, Jerry Bruckheimer could do like better stuff with that.
Wait a second.
It really, really felt like a Michael Bay, Jerry Bruckheimer action movies from the 90s at times, which is bad enough.
This is insane. I mean, firstly, to the extent that those that... mean something, Michael Bay, Jerry Bruckheimer. Even Michael Bay was making action movies on a whole different scale. Like The Rock is still like set in reality, you know? Like the special effects in The Rock is like, what is this explosion I can create? And that's it. This guy, JC, Jesus Christ, James Cameron.
JC.
Was miles ahead.
John Connor, JC.
And John Connor. Oh my God. He was miles ahead in like 1991, man. That's insane. And just coming back to your point, I get it. Like Edward Furlong in the movie does not look 10, whatever. And he's a little annoying. I'm granting you this for free.
He's not a little annoying. He's extremely annoying. He's like a whiny little bitch throughout this movie. Side note.
But he's the heart of the movie.
Side note. Okay? Just fun fact. If you just Google the four main actors from the movie and what they look like today, Robert Patrick, who played T-1000, the antagonist of this movie, actually ages the best.
Okay? Yeah, he's great. He's like...
Edward Furlong... looks the oldest out of all four. It's hilarious.
All right, let's not talk about what happened to poor Edward Furlong. He basically grew up to be like a delinquent, right? Or something like that.
He was John Connor. He grew up as John Connor.
Just listen, it's not easy.
Absorb child actors, that character.
Yeah, child actors don't have it easy. Mm. Within the movie, I have to say that one line though, did you call moi a dipshit? It's like the most self-proving sentence ever. So that's when I think he was peak annoying. But he is the heart of the movie and he does the whole, like, you know, teaching Terminator, Arnie, all the fish out of water stuff, teaching him the random Spanish phrases. It just leads to such iconic shit. I mean, how can you even hold a grudge against John Connor when he's responsible for so much joy in the world?
Well, not too much joy, right? Because he just shows up in this movie. And if you want to count John Connors from the other movies, he actually like net, he's like pulling people down in the world in terms of contribution and stuff. Okay, let's just dive into this movie. I want to talk about Arnold as we go along and his character and the way he portrays that character. Again, one of the earlier scenes when they're trying to break Sarah Connor out of the mental hospital, right? And obviously at that point of time, Sarah Connor she just has like tremendous PTSD from like Terminator 1. And in her mind, Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator version is a killing machine, right? And then they meet and then John Connor tells her that, oh, he's my friend. He's here to save us. And immediately she's fine with it. whatever.
Because she sees him save her.
Yeah, sure. And then, you remember that one scene where the T-1000 ends up at the hospital? He's obviously at the hospital. He's like killing people left, right, center. And he meets them. And then they run to this elevator.
Yeah.
So there's this one scene where Sarah Connor, John Connor are already in the elevator and Arnie's just like shotgunning him to like stop him.
Yeah.
And then he just turns around and starts running in his balle balle fashion. Have you noticed that?
What?
Because he has the shotgun in one hand and for some reason his other hand is also up when he's running. Just notice that. It's hilarious. and like T-1000 in just like perfect form, like Olympic athlete running.
Yeah.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger is running like he has bricks in his underwear or something.
I did not notice this. I was too busy noticing the
funniest
amazing
thing ever, dude.
There are some funny things in this movie. I'll grant you that. But and sometimes they're also unintentionally funny. Maybe this one is one of them. Do you also remember that scene where the T-1000 walks by a mannequin? You know, like completely silver mannequin?
Huh?
And I'm sensing you didn't notice this in the movie because it's such a split second. And it just looks at the silver mannequin and it gets confused like as though it's seen a friend or something.
Or like, yeah, I saw that. And also like he shouldn't be. There's another gripe I have, which very minor, which will keep coming up here and there about how when these machines become a little empathetic or when they show a little emotion, when they choose to, but we'll talk about that later. I have a quick question for you. I know even though you haven't seen Terminator, you know the gist of it, what happens.
Yeah.
And basically Arnold Schwarzenegger's the Terminator sent back by Skynet to kill Sarah Connor so that John doesn't...
Yeah, and Kyle Reese is the guy sent back to protect and he ends
by
up...
By John Connor and he ends up being the dad, right?
Right.
So the loop starts there. Why didn't Skynet send back more Terminators to kill Sarah Connor?
There's some in-world explanation. Doesn't matter.
No, there isn't.
Yeah, there is.
Where?
It doesn't matter.
Of course it does.
That's all they could send.
No.
The future movies, they do send them. Turns out that they sent one in 1983 also.
Oh, so are we counting the future movies now?
Doesn't matter. My point is...
Do not allude to the future movies.
All right, I don't need to. My point is that anytime there's a possible explanation, you can count that. I mean, think of how Nolan makes his movies, right? Like, you know, you don't hand feed to the audience, leave it open to interpretation. As long as you can come up with an explanation, that's good enough, isn't it?
I don't think so, man. Not so where Cameron is right now at this point of his career and like his vision and everything that he thought about the universe, the Terminator universe and stuff like that, it just has so many holes that it's so unsatisfactory as
come on, it doesn't make any difference. Like, oh, the machines could have done this.
Okay, that's maybe where we differ in terms of satisfaction attained from a movie. Like I would love for there to be answers or even a potential for answers to happen. Right now, it's just so open-ended that fan theory is unlimited. And like,
yeah, that's good enough. What I get out of a movie and satisfaction is like great characters, badass action scenes, amazing direction.
Okay,
so you know, you skipped over Sarah Connor just by mentioning her in the asylum.
I don't know. I plan to talk about her a lot.
Sarah Connor is the most badass heroine. Is that how you pronounce it? Or is that the
heroine?
Brand? Heroine. In like forever. I mean, do you remember James Cameron talking about Wonder Woman? How he kind of hated on Wonder Woman because Wonder Woman was being propped up as like a feminist icon, whereas James Cameron was like, no, not at all. She's kind of scantily clad and she doesn't really do much. Whereas Sarah Connor was like a real feminist icon. And I must say, those were very controversial comments. Everybody's like, oh, James Cameron, just
stay
out of it.
You think she was a feminist icon?
She's just a badass action hero who's a woman. I mean, that is awesome. And she really is badass in the movie. And they explain it because in the first movie, she was just like a waitress or something, right?
Right.
That jump in this movie is so cool because they justify it completely. They say she's constantly just preparing for Judgment Day. She set up these like bunkers and friends and weapons. She's well-trained in all of them. She's taken John Connor around. Which reminds me, by the way, the in-world explanation is very clear for why John Connor is how he is. Because he's been on military bases just being prepped for like military training to be a military leader all his life. That's why he can ride dirt bikes and is like the most proactive 10-year-old ever. And Sarah Connor is just badass. No, I can't think of a single woman portrayed in movies that's as badass an action hero while still being grounded in reality. You know, it's not like some, I don't know, Aeon Flux or something where it's just a woman kicking ass for no reason.
I don't know how to feel how you feel so strongly about that. I in fact thought more on the opposite end. I felt her character was extremely unlikable to the point where I feel like they
perhaps
made it very unlikable, right?
Perhaps, and, yeah. I could
because
grant that.
In particularly in the movie and the actions, the steps she takes in the movie, for example, are are extremely detrimental. They pull everything back. They don't help John Connor or the Terminator's mission at all.
Yeah, she's not a good mother. You know, she's kind of deranged.
She's the worst mother.
She's the worst mother. And then
and that's saying something because she is the mother to the person who's, well...
Yeah, it's on purpose. It's done well though, right? Because she goes through that whole unlikability. And then eventually she goes and tries to kill Miles Dyson. Amazing bit part, by the way. Legend, Miles Dyson. And then she doesn't do it. And, you know, in fact, James Cameron spoke about this being his favorite scene when she's about to kill Miles Dyson. And she knows how many lives she would probably save, or at least thinks she would save. And she doesn't go through with it. Like, basically, you can see her wrestling with herself, not with the fact that this is Miles Dyson. And eventually she loses the battle to her own morality and doesn't do it. And that's kind of like her arc. That's the redemption. She goes from total deranged one mission, prevent Judgment Day, to actually back to being human again and figuring it out all together with her newfound family, including Mr. Arnie.
I truly feel like she's the weakest part in this movie. She's not a good actor at the end of the day, right? Her character might be badass. It might be... extremely polarizing in terms of opinions and stuff, but as an actor, I don't think she's good. The way she portrays her suffering, and then she's mumbling half the time and talking about the future, this, that, and like, just, it's...
Well, you didn't like her. At least she convincingly played that, you know, and then she has that redemption, and she's a badass action heroine. It's fine. She doesn't need to act like really well or anything. You can see that she's worried about John. It's really all that she needs to do, isn't it? And then all her mental asylum acting is good enough. I think she's like pretty convincing in that stuff.
Oh man, even when she, I don't know, I feel like her acting is, she's the character in this movie where acting is the most important, right? It's the most important skill because...
Hey, Arnie needs to act too.
No, we'll talk about that later, dude. But she needs to act the most, or she needs to be the best actor in this movie.
We talk about it now because... I just disagree with you on this point. And also, I can't believe you're like sapping away the fun of this movie. This movie doesn't need to be analyzed on like this acting level and all that shit. This movie is just like...
It's a Cameron movie.
It's just like... Mwah, mwah. It just has like scene after scene of mwah. The first chase through those like LA tunnels where... the crazy part is if now we know exactly what T2 is all about. You know, we've watched it many times through childhood. When Terminator 2 first came out, I don't know if the trailer spoiled it or not, but you didn't know whether Arnold was good or bad. So actually, when Arnold is chasing John Connor on his motorcycle, when John Connor is being chased by the T-1000 in the truck through the, you know, those half pipes in LA or whatever, that scene is amazing because you think that Arnold's trying to kill John Connor, just like he did in T1. And then he turns out to be the savior and he does the whole like shotgun reloading, which I already mentioned. Mwah, what a scene.
I don't even know if trailers are a thing in 91.
Yes, trailers have been a thing since the birth of movies.
I don't know, man.
And a lot of them would spoil a lot. I think the Empire trailer spoiled it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, whatever. I mean... Good or bad, doesn't matter.
Mwah. Not good or bad, not good. Mwah. Just that
Stop
scene.
Mwah. It's kind of weird.
I know, it is weird, but it just makes me go like that scene where you find out that the T-1000 can replicate humans, can imitate humans, and it's where John's foster dad is killed. When T-1000 is basically John's foster mom, picks up the phone. And then just shuts her husband up and then it's off screen and then you pan to it and the guy's just been stabbed through the eye.
Uh-huh.
It's just so crazy. It just comes out of nowhere. It's such a badass, crazy-ass scene. Mwah.
Mwah. Mwah. Okay.
Linda Hamilton twin mirror scene. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe she has a twin, firstly. Aren't you amazed sometimes that there are twins in the world?
Nice side note there.
So they shot the scene where she opens up Arnold's head and removes her chip that allows him to learn more things.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they did that is by using Linda Hamilton's twin and like a sort of a fake body of Arnold. And so they pretend to be sitting in front of a mirror, but it's actually Arnold, Linda Hamilton, Linda Hamilton 2, and an Arnold that they open up. And it's just like so amazingly shot. That is like typical James Cameron innovation, amazing execution.
Okay. Any other adjectives you want to throw in there?
Yeah. I'm done for the moment.
Mwah. Maybe another mwah.
Mwah.
Jesus, man. I don't know, dude. Arnie is... You would think that naturally he's he's meant to be the robot in every movie because of just the way he is.
Perfect like, casting, might I add.
Wow. And he still messes up. He still messes up. He's the perfect robot. He's a perfect machine in T1, right? He's perfect. Barely any dialogue. I don't even think he has any dialogue in T1. I don't even remember.
Of course he does. Give me your clothes, your boots, your shoes, whatever. The opening dialogue.
In T1?
It's the same in both movies, I think.
Okay, so, but it's like minuscule compared to T2, for example. He's interacting a lot with John throughout the entire journey, trying to understand why do you cry and all of that stuff, right? The whole idea behind this movie is, I mean, it's not the whole idea, but a big idea behind this movie is basically, by the end of it, a machine empathizing with human emotions. I feel like that's pure crap. It's just made to elicit emotions from the audience. It completely belies the core idea of the franchise, and that's machines versus humans. And the person they find to try and act out that personality shift is Arnold Schwarzenegger, who, when he's acting like a human being, mind you, still feels more like a machine. So it just
doesn't that work well?
No, it doesn't. It completely does not. It's intuitive, but it doesn't work. It's just so stupid. And I cringed when he's like, oh, I understand why you cry now and I can't cry.
I'll
like,
grant you that. That was
thumbs
stupid.
Up when he's going down
hey,
and all of that.
Don't you dare say anything against a thumbs up.
Fuck that thumbs up. Just fuck it.
How dare you? Thumbs up is like the thumbs up in modern cinema. That combined with the thumbs up that Sunny Deol gives in Border are the greatest thumbs up in cinematic history. And look, I can't believe.
Look, obviously I'm not going to hate on the Sunny Deol Border thumbs up. It makes no sense, but I can't hate on it. But it's expected in a movie like Border.
This is just next level.
This is a James Cameron movie, according to you, a piece of visual art, all that genre defining, best sequel ever.
And a great time.
Best whatever.
Most importantly.
He's doing a thumbs up.
He does a thumbs up. He gets human emotions. He does thumbs up.
What do you mean he gets human emotions?
His learning chip has been taken out, like, so he's allowed to learn. So he learns.
No, you cannot. You cannot justify that. You cannot justify that.
Hasta la vista, baby.
No, it's the stupidest thing ever, that machine learning emotions. Because then Skynet just fails. It just becomes human then by the end of it. If you think about it. This movie just completely rids itself of logic when it wants to and completely... It defines itself by logic when it wants to. And that,
why?
To me, annoys
what about logic?
Me.
It's such a great time. The movie's just a great time.
When a respected director, a visionary of his time and all of that, makes something, then it has to hold up. And it doesn't hold up
it
at
totally
times.
It totally holds up. My only question about the thumbs up scene, which I think is amazing, is like why he kills himself at all. I mean, he can live for 120 years. Why does he need to kill himself? He should just hide.
Oh, because he doesn't want people to get a hold of his technology again. And
they leave his arm in the factory thing again. You know, when his arm gets caught and he gets rid of it himself, like he breaks his own arm after the T-1000 traps him in like this machinery.
Right. He
just like T-1, he leaves the arm behind. It's so dumb. Yeah.
You think that's what...
That's what causes Judgment Day eventually. I don't know. I mean, dude, Arnold, man. It's so great. Because they also play with Arnold himself and like Arnold from the first movie so much. Everything you're saying as a negative is, I think, it's like almost a very self-aware playing around.
I don't
Arnold.
Think so. I think it's a lot of it was put in there to make it a more popcorn mainstreamy movie.
Yeah, like a naked Arnold in the beginning.
Yeah,
when he walks through that bar, everybody's looking at his dick.
I read this review where this dude's like, why did they make me look up a governor's asshole in the first scene of this movie?
Oh, it's some guy who's in the movie. Oh, no, yeah, as an
like,
audience.
It's just like a, like, where? But then this other review was awesome. Like, and it talks a little bit about how...
If a naked Arnold walked through a bar, I'd look.
If a naked guy walks through a bar, you'd look.
No.
You'd be like, no, oh,
you
naked
weirdo.
Guy.
Wait a second. No, I wouldn't. Is there something you want to tell me? But if a naked Arnold walked through, I'd look.
Oh, you'd look?
Yeah, I'd look at that. Yeah. Tree trunk.
Tree trunk? You're already assuming it's a tree trunk. What if it's like a small pecker?
Are we really discussing this right now?
You started it, man. You started it. And you know I'll take that forward. 100%.
I mean, what a specimen. How can I not think about it? He's naked walking through a bar.
Yeah, let's stop. I also want to talk a little bit about this, you know, this relationship that John Connor and the T-800, I think it was the 800, sort of set up. And I understand what you mean about how they wanted to try to make it more human. Arnold Schwarzenegger trying to smile and like doing the high fives and the two slows and all of that. And the fact that he doesn't understand any of it makes sense. But by the end of it, the fact that he starts understanding all of that, that's when it starts going a little off course. And this review I read, it just sums it up perfectly. It's like, this movie took one of the biggest badasses in cinema and turned him into a stepdad. Killed me. That one line just killed me. It's like so amazing. It accurately sums it up.
I was kind of confused because then there's this whole scene before Sarah Connor goes to kill Miles Dyson where she's like, after all the men that have been in my life, a machine is the one he finds a stepdad. So I get it. James Cameron was trying to play with a lot of themes. Some of them worked really, really well. For instance, Apocalypse.
Most of them didn't, though.
Most of them did, of course. It's just like, listen, like any action movies need human characters at the center, right? For the arcs and the emotions to mean anything. So the mother-son relationship worked. And, you know, this kind of father relationship maybe didn't work. You know, the machine stuff worked. Maybe a little bit like the stepdad thing didn't work. But is it a good time or not? I mean, come on, dude. The only good time that this compares to, I think, is like something really out there, like Face Off or like some Nicolas Cage movie. Because as an action movie, as like a crazy, crazy good time in the movies, nothing beats this. And before I forget, the one thing we haven't spoken about is the music, the score. How unbelievable. I mean, iconic is easy to say because that's kind of a retroactive thing. You know, it becomes iconic. But just by itself, it's so good, so potent, you know. Typical 90s, like very strong melodies. It's just stuck in our head forever for a reason. Is that good?
The score is good. But I just want to come back to when you're talking about how...
So you just grant me the score is good and you come back to something? Yeah,
the score is good.
Let's highlight that you're doing
actually,
that.
Wait. It's
oh, you found something?
No, it's good, but then... You know, when you watch movies as a kid and you really love them, things kind of stick with you. So maybe that's some sort of bias. I personally like this movie as a kid because I didn't understand much of it. And it's like a lot of shooting and action and whatever, robots and stuff. I want to talk about how you were alluding to this movie about it being a good time and all of that, right? And comparing it to Face Off. I agree, it's a great time. But it's not an IMDb top 250 time. Otherwise, Face Off would be here. Con Air would be here. All
this
of those
the best
movies would be here.
Version of that movie.
No chance, man.
Along with... How can you say... All right, fine. This brings me to the obvious question. If you had to replace this on the IMDb top 250, what would you replace it with?
I particularly don't feel that this movie... must be on the top 250. But just to show you how much I was disappointed in Terminator 2, I feel like T2 Judgment Day should be replaced by the Shah Rukh Khan epic, colossal...
Don't even finish that
movie.
Just don't.
Called Ra-1.
Oh my God.
Ra-1.
Oh my Lord.
I feel like it did robots and machines at least as good as Terminator 2 did.
How dare you?
Just that's how much I was disappointed.
I can't even look at you right
and
now.
And talking about Terminators and machines, we still haven't spoken about T-1000 too much, right?
Badass, amazing,
badass,
best villain.
Swords for like hands, like Olympic runner, like oh my God, like shape-shifting, like oh my God.
Dude, how scary, how badass. Firstly, the actor, dude, Robert Patrick, just killed it. He's so menacing. And he's actually like very unassuming looking. Apart from the fact he looks a little bit like Ray Liotta. Like there's nothing, you know, interesting looking about him. But he just used his like eyes and features and haircut and running style to scare anybody who watched this movie in the right age. And in general too, still a menacing villain.
I think Robert Patrick was the best casting in this movie.
Okay, fair. I still think Arnie was, but yeah.
Arnie and Sarah Connor were there because they were in there in the first one. And Arnie, I mean, okay, because he's Arnold Schwarzenegger's star appeal and all that. I think there are like a multitude of reasons for him to be in this movie. But pure casting, as in, that's the character. We need to find an actor that fits that role. It was Robert Patrick, hands
amazing.
Down.
The T-1000 had such cool qualities. The T-1000 was just so cool for its time, man. I don't even know how they must have done those special effects. Do you remember what computers were like in 1991? And this is not like Kubrick's Space Odyssey. Like, they had to show some crazy shit in this movie. I don't know how they pulled it off. The liquid metal, the amazing scene where he turns to ice. And, you know, once in a while you can see, oh, this is how they did that special effect. Oh, this is like, you know, a model or something. But for the most part, it was just amazing.
I guess. I mean, the special effects were good. I've already granted that. But talking about T-1000 within the movie.
Uh-huh.
Firstly, he shouldn't be there.
What do you mean?
He's not supposed to travel back in time.
What do you mean?
If you remember the whole concept of traveling back in time, you can't, unless you have human tissue, for example. That's why Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator has a lot of human tissue.
Right. Yeah, I remember. There needs to be some organic substance.
Yeah, otherwise, like, they could just... Skynet would just be sending back, like, nukes and, like, bombs and stuff, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, but he can't... That's why
he T-1000 has no human tissue. He's, like, liquid, polymer, alloy, whatever the hell he is. Why is he there? And there's no
who given cares? Answer.
I care, and you care too. I know that, because we're both nerds at the end of the day.
No,
I,
they have some in-world explanation. When something's so vague, nobody cares. Listen, I thought you'd be complaining about things like,
no, I have more complaints.
How does he touch someone and become with their clothes and all?
No, I don't... Okay, even if without understanding or without any specific reason of how his abilities work, he's able to mimic someone as soon as he touches them, right? In that final scene... When they're at that factory, whatever that steel melting factory thingamajig is.
Yeah.
At this one point, he's busted everyone up, right? John Connor's run away. He's literally killed Arnold Schwarzenegger's character. And he's pinned...
Terminator is the name of the character.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what the movie's name, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I got it. And he's stabbed Sarah Connor in the shoulder and he's pinned her.
Yeah.
And then he asks her to shout for John.
Yeah.
Why don't you just kill her and mimic her and go to John?
That's what he does eventually.
Why doesn't he just do that?
Well, that's what he does.
No, not eventually. Why does he ask her to shout for John?
Maybe because...
He has no emotions about vengefulness or ego or anything. Like that. He's a machine.
No, his mission is to get John Connor. So he evaluates at the time in a way that we can't. The best way to get John Connor is to keep Sarah Connor alive.
It's for her... Not kill her and just mimic her and just be Sarah Connor.
He kills her. John Connor just runs away. He has nothing to come back for. This is obvious, bro. This is villain 101.
Uh-huh. How does John Connor know the first moment that he's Sarah Connor? He's imitating Sarah Connor.
Oh, come on. If Sarah Connor dies...
Okay, just to complete my point. Because when he does imitate Sarah Connor, John runs to him. Until the real Sarah Connor shows up, if you remember that.
I will just say, I think you're focusing on the wrong thing.
No, I'm not, man.
He becomes the floor... comes into contact with the guard's shoes and then becomes the guard, the fat guard.
I don't even want to get into that.
He becomes the guard and he has the badge of the guard.
Yeah, he has everything, all the clothes, everything. It's just, I'm just like, I'm not even stopping there, right? They're doing that just to drag the movie out, make it like more emotional, like, oh my God, he's one of the skins. What's going on? Arnold Schwarzenegger, like he literally terminates the Terminator.
Uh-huh.
But like, it's like the Terminator has
but
like
it's
a
like
set
Bollywood,
like,
bro. It's like Jai Mata Di and like yeah, the Terminator like a, comes
he a,
back.
He has a set of like AA batteries stuck up his ass for like reserve power up. And stuff. He's like, rebooting. And
he
like,
underestimated Arnold. You never underestimate Arnold.
And this is, he's supposed to have all of the knowledge of how a Terminator functions and all of that. But he doesn't know he has like reserve power.
You're so focusing on the wrong thing. What about
I'm
the scene
focusing
when
on absolutely
Arnold
what you're supposed to be focusing on.
With a pistol and shoots everyone in the leg. What about the scene where Arnold just goes on the window and then just shoots all these cop cars with like a minigun and like a grenade gun? What's wrong with you? Why are you stuck on all the dumb things?
You're actually proving my next point, which is my summarization of the movie, that this, at the end of the day, is a kid's movie.
Yeah.
And
okay.
We saw it when we were kids.
Yeah.
And therefore, our generation loves this movie because... This is not a kid's movie.
Wait, I'm going to take that back. A kid is at the heart of this movie, but it's not a kid's movie.
No, this is a movie for kids.
No, it's not.
Of course it is.
Is Die Hard a movie for kids?
Your explanation for everything, Arnie standing at the window, shooting everyone with a minigun, explosions, chase, and all. Those are your positives for this movie. The actual crux of the movie, the things that's supposed to be holding this together.
Is Mad Max Fury Road a kid's movie? It's not. But if I was talking about Mad Max Fury Road, I'd be talking about all the amazing things. I wouldn't be talking about, how did that guy even take control? Control and how do the politics work and what are the rules and why don't they run out of fuel?
I'll tell you the difference. Mad Max is a pure action movie. This is not a pure action movie. This is a sci-fi movie.
It's close enough. Yeah, sci-fi, but like action sci-fi. It's not like 2001. And by the way, most sci-fi movies as a genre leave things way unexplained.
Right. I mean, I don't know, man. That's where I kind of fell short in my liking towards this movie. It's not because I got against, but I truly felt that because it's so heavily reliant on the sci-fi, they should have plugged all the holes and made sure that it held up from a sci-fi perspective and not just like made like throw a lot of action on it to just cover up the gaping holes there.
I just want to not care about what you just said and mention a few miscellaneous points about this movie that are just One, the 90s throwback is the mullet on John Connor's friend. That is a strong mullet on a kid right there.
Yeah.
Amazing. Second, the John Woo style roses falling to the floor when he takes a shotgun out of the thing. Uh-huh. That was so out of place, yeah. But it's still like, just, I don't know, remind me of John Woo and still, you know, kind of badass. It was pre-John Woo, so that's why it's interesting. Then, a lot of people miss this, but do you remember when the T-1000 is flying a chopper through the streets?
Right.
Which is so cool, by the way, because they actually did that. And literally, the cinematographers were not willing to do it. And then he got on the rig himself and he shot it. And then the chopper pilot was not willing to do it. But he's just like, I don't know. Let's just try it. Let's just see what happens. And he did it. And he's like, well, you need to do it twice. He's like, well, if you can do it once, we'll do it twice. Made it happen. But the T-1000 is actually shooting at Sarah Connor and John Connor in the truck in front of them. And then driving the chopper with the third arm.
Yeah,
it's so cool. So many people missed this. Yeah. I saw like some meme about it, and then when I was watching it again.
Yeah.
And lastly, shout out Miles Dyson, best death ever in a movie.
This movie sucks.
Oh my god, that's your summary? That's no, great.
My summary is this movie is a kid's movie, and this movie sucks.
I think my summary was covered in my initial.
Yeah, we all got it.
So, should we wrap this up?
Please, I'm done with this movie for the longest time.
I have the most obvious way to end this feud ever.
Yeah, I kind of see it coming.
Why don't you do it?
No, I
insist.
It's yours, it's yours.
I insist. Come on, just to make up for all the horse shit you've said about this movie.
No.
Ready?
No.
Steady?
Definitely not happening.
Fine, I'll do it. Hasta la vista, baby.
And that wraps up this particular episode of Film Feud.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed that. And now we feuded. It's time for you to decide. Go on Twitter at FilmFeudPod and let us know who you think won the feud. Obviously me.
I don't know, man. I feel like I have some listeners out there who resonate with my thoughts in this movie. And I didn't know I would get so passionate, and I was getting annoyed while feuding, which has never happened before. And I'm sorry for that, Vidur.
Oh, that's very sweet. I don't accept. I still think your view on this movie is wrong.
Okay, then. So you guys can reach out to us on Twitter at FilmFeudPod. That's FilmFeudPod, P-O-D. Or write to us at FilmFeud@MuncherMedia.com.
And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Pocket Cast, wherever you catch your podcast.
See you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.